Happy birthday, America.
This is Jeff Bell.
This is Jake Weiniger.
This is Forrest Shaw.
This is J.C. Carter.
I am Eric Effington.
And this is The Left Show.
A land of legend, of romance, of friendship and loyalty and courage.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jeff Bell, and I wanted to personally welcome you to The Left Show. This week, for our first beta pre-launch episode, I'm joined in the world headquarters of Defenestrate Media Network's basement studio by Jake Weiniger and Forrest Shaw. In the weeks, months, and hopefully years to come, you'll hear the voices of not only myself, Jake, and Forrest, but also Eric Effington and J.C. Carter. Amid the five of us, and a sixth super-secret female member to be announced after our official launch, we cover pretty much every conceivable walk of American life. Except ethnic minorities, religious minorities, some religious majorities, and of course, the wealthy. This week on The Left Show, your intrepid heroes set forth to solve the problems facing America's economy, and nearly end up talking about it.
A motherload of remembrance, a true bonanza.
This is The Left Show!
I think it just started back up because he had the cancer, he had the Hodgkin's melanoma, or whatever.
I don't think it's even started
Dexter
back up.
Got sick, he had cancer. Him and the guy from Spartacus had the same kind of cancer. The guy from... The actor got cancer.
In real life. Yeah.
He's not a real person. He's an actor.
No, but the... Hey, welcome to The Left Show. I'm Jeff Bell. Joining me today are Forrest Shaw.
And I'm glad that Jeff is here with me.
Yes. And Jake Weiniger.
Just happy to be here.
Just happy to be here. So I'm watching the news this week. Actually, I'm reading the news this weekend, and I noticed that Minnesota is closed for business.
Closed.
Which, I got to tell you, I lived in Minnesota for several years. Their old governor I liked, their new governor I'm not too fond of. But if there was a time when that state needed to be shut down, it's summer. It is sticky. It is hot. It is just... I mean, run for the South. It's the only time in my life I've ever wished I was in Arizona was summer in Minnesota.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, the dry and the humidity.
Arizona's better in the summer.
Definitely better in the summer. You don't want to be there. But I mean, think about it. If they close down, there's no libraries. So there's really nowhere that people can go that's air conditioned.
True. Well, they can go to the Mall of America, which I believe can fit both the entire population of Minnesota comfortably, half of Wisconsin as well.
And so not properly booted out.
What's that?
Not all state services are down.
No, the whole state government shut down.
But like police and...
Well, most of those are handled by the municipalities.
Okay.
So I would guess like the highway patrol, which is cool.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of flat, straight roads in Minnesota. But they did. They apparently had cops come through and kick everybody out of the parks, and everything shut down, as I was reading earlier.
You can't go to the parks?
If the parks are owned by the state, then the state can't keep emergency medical folk there. They can't keep park police. They have nobody there to watch it, so they shut the park down. They kick everybody out.
So if there's nobody there to watch it, how are they going to find out if you're there?
Well, you're breaking the law.
Oh, well, there's no
which
fucking
is fine. There's
so
no,
who
yeah,
cares?
There's no state government there
to
arrest you.
What are they
going to
ticket me?
Hey, it's due diligence. They kick everybody out, then you sneak back in and hurt yourself. You can't sue the state because you're an asshole.
It's just like my last job where they told me I was fired, but when I went back and nobody was there, they got all upset that I was there.
You can't be here.
That's not what my crowbar says.
Shut up, Mom. I used to live here.
It's because she fired you because you wouldn't do dishes.
Yeah.
I remember that.
All right, so it's shut down. So why is it shut down?
Left and right could not reach a compromise on budget.
Why is that?
Because Republicans...
They're mad at unions and...
And gays and Latinos and Hispanics.
They feel like they're not getting enough respect, so they're kind of having a hissy fit.
And the Russians and the Koreans. Basically, if you are not white... And making more than $300,000 a year, the Republican Party, especially in Minnesota these days, is just like, fuck right off. So, That's what it comes down to is now we're looking at it's you, Forrest, have been really kind of jumping all over and up and down in the economy lately. I'm impressed by because you seem such a simple guy.
I am simple. I'm a simple guy, but.
But you seem to have gotten a grasp on some seriously complicated economic issues. You've been popping off on Facebook quite a bit, impressively. And I know that you've been inflaming the hemorrhoids of most of our, I'm using radio air quotes, official radio air quotes, trademark. These Republican conservatives that are now part of the Tea Party that try and tell us that they're not actually Republicans, that they're libertarians, which pisses off real libertarians who know that these Tea Party libertarians are completely full of shit.
Yeah.
And so what we have is, let's go federally, because the state of Utah is too ridiculously silly for me to really wrap my head around right now. So you're looking at federally. We've got the Republican Party who's having a fight with the president because they don't like black people. I said it, and I'll stick to it. It's entirely racist, and I will not take it back or apologize for it. Because if we had gotten another Bill Clinton in there, they wouldn't be fighting this hard. Okay, so they will not bump the debt ceiling up, which is kind of important. People that are a lot smarter and better at math than me are pissing themselves because we're coming up on August, and we're about to default on all of our loans, which would basically crash the entire United States economy.
Yeah, I mean, the debt ceiling isn't, it's not really a left or right thing. I mean, how many times was it raised during Clinton, and how many times was it raised during Bush and Reagan? Consistently. You know, just all the time. So it's like we're being held hostage is what it is. And it doesn't have anything to do with the economy. And it doesn't have anything to do with any kind of debt. It's just all about...
Now, as Jake hasn't said a word on this yet, I just want to... This is what happens when you don't watch or read the news.
No, I'm biting my lip here.
Are you going to jump in a minute?
Yeah, sure. Because I think it's... First off, they're going to raise a debt ceiling, is my opinion. I have a crystal ball. Well, it's a magic eight ball. But I shake it, and it says it's going
to
be fine.
I agree, and I want to come back to that.
But I think it's a really good thing that Americans are learning about their government... Because people are threatening to shut it down. Nobody knew about the debt ceiling 5 years ago. Nobody had ever heard of that before.
But the problem with that is...
The people are paying attention to how our finances in this country work, and it's a mess.
Okay.
So I'm glad it's happening.
Here's the thing. 5 years ago, yeah, I think you're right. I think people didn't know what the debt ceiling was, or they didn't care. They weren't paying attention.
Deficit.
However, when you go back into the 90s, when Clinton shut the government down because the Republicans were being peckerheads like they are now for the exact same reasons...
That wasn't the debt ceiling, though.
No, but that was another government shutdown. This is the Republican
also
Party
the right
has decided that if we're going
to
quit spending, if the American government's going to quit spending, we are going to quit spending on 95% of the American populace.
Sure.
We are still going to give to corporate welfare, which still is more money than we give to people welfare every year.
Right.
We're still going to give tax breaks to corporations that ship jobs offshore. We're still going to give tax breaks to oil companies who are currently...
No, I agree. It's horrible.
Well, yeah.
And the Democrats need to step up and start pointing that out more because they're not doing it very effectively. They're doing it and they're trying, but they back off way too soon.
Well, you know what? It's part of it is and let me get to the end because I'm going to stick it to the Democrats for you. But
I'll stick it to the Democrats.
No, I will.
The Democrats are... They're pussies. I mean, let's face it. The Democrats are fucking pussies, and
the sad thing
they
is, every Democrat out there is like
up.
Sadly nodding their head.
I know. Well, that's what it comes down to.
The balls to just stick to it.
Some of them do, and then they send pictures of those balls on the internet to girls they haven't met. And we lose the good, strong voices. We lost Anthony Weiner.
You know what? If you screw yourself, you deserve it.
True.
Come on.
Hey, look. Did Anthony Weiner try and get laid by a cop in a Minneapolis airport. Yeah, hey, another good reason Minnesota's closed.
I'll give you that one.
Did he have inappropriate contact with the congressional pages?
Yeah.
No. You know, no. What he did was, and this is the way I put this out, is he's a small guy. He was kind of geeky. He was the funny popular, but not the popular guy. He wasn't the football player kind of popular all growing up. There's no way a guy with his looks and his size could be. Suddenly, he pops up about a year and a half, 2 years ago, really loses his composure on the floor and just starts screaming. We move that along and we see his temper tantrums and they're all in the right place. The best one being when the Republicans wouldn't pass the 9/11 first responders health care bill and his head popped.
Which was fantastic.
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic. And so that's the kind of guy you have. And suddenly you have all these Democratic girls in their summer dresses and their little dreadlocks and their cornrows. Going, hey, Anthony Weiner, you're a hot congressman. He's not had this kind of attention before, is my guess. And he just lost his Vulcan mind. He just went nuts. And he's in great shape. And he wants these lovely young women across the country who are sending him.
Boxers, sure.
Apparently. But he had all those pictures from the house gym as well.
The way you just described that, I'm running for Congress.
Dude, totally.
There it is. I mean,
yeah, you got
listen,
a guy.
I begrudge him nothing.
I want
except
the
lying.
Explosion on the floor and the girls in the cornrows.
Cool.
And I'm there.
Will your wife be there with you? I guess would be the question.
Cornrows?
Absolutely.
Is she going to listen to this?
She'll listen to this.
Okay.
She'll have a taser with her.
So anyway, you
probably
got a guy.
Not.
So
she might be there rooting for me and cheering me on. And
that banging sound you hear is my deaf 15-year-old dog constantly turning around in confusion and whacking his head against the mic stand. He's old.
The mascot.
He is for a little while. I don't think he's going to be with us much longer. Are you, buddy? Okay, go away. We're working.
Or that way. You can go that way.
No, so, yeah, so Weiner.
So, okay, let me get back
by
to
lying.
My... He did, and
that, he's got no one to blame for himself.
I don't want to lose the topic, but it has long been my opinion that if when reporters asked Bill Clinton if he stooped his intern, and he
Amen.
Said, yeah, I did. You know why? Because I'm the president of the United States.
No, he shouldn't have said that at all. And remember,
oh yeah,
I was the guy back in the 90s who wanted him out for that.
Yep.
I was
the lying or the stooping?
For the lying.
Yeah.
The answer, and he should have learned this from George Bush Sr., who was a very smart president, he should have said, that's none of your business. But that's not relevant here. Or fuck off. That's personal.
I think he should
that
have admitted
that was his
it.
Answer.
I just think he should
that's,
have said, yep.
No, that's what George Bush did. George Bush was asked about Iran-Contra, and he's like, that's none of your business. And that's all he'd say about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but
and
look,
it stonewalled
that,
for
look,
decades.
Let me, all right, now just
well, maybe not decades,
calm yourself down for a minute.
I know, I'm very excited.
Iran-Contra
about this.
Was
There's
nothing
involved.
More than money being moved from one terrorist group to another, completely in violation of several treaties, UN laws,
yes.
regulations. It was just against the law.
Oh my God, this is so fucking sidetracked.
Bill
and
Clinton.
This is budget because why?
Hang on. Because this is where we're going. Bill Clinton got a blowjob. He deserves to get kicked out of office. That's
no,
what that came
lied.
Down to. It wasn't about the
he
lie.
He fucking lied. He lied under oath.
He did.
He handed the gun with the bullet to Starr by lying under oath. That's a federal crime.
Yeah,
and
on
Al
year
Capone
six.
Went to jail because of tax evasion. That's yeah. that's the comparison.
I'm just saying, you had
know,
the Starr Commission that was working to bring down Clinton for years, and
right.
when they finally got him, it was because his...
He lied.
But about his penis.
You know what?
It's all about the penis.
Don't fucking lie. How
what
hard
about,
is that?
Okay, then what the
Don't
hell is
the
David
question.
Vitter still doing in the Senate? What the hell is he still doing in the Senate?
Vitter,
the dude,
the guy
he,
with the dog fights?
No.
He's
not,
a Republican.
That's Vicky,
that's
the football
fine.
Player.
Republicans can lie.
He,
they
no.
have family values,
Governor's,
and that's all you need to
Governor,
know.
Governor, Democrat, Governor Spitzer goes to, I have to admit, a very attractive call girl.
He's a Democrat. He doesn't own the
he
copyright on family
office.
Values.
David Vitter, Republican senator, goes to several different New Orleans whores. He's a diaper fetishist. He likes to be put in a diaper and spanked.
Too much information.
He lied and lied and lied until several prostitutes are like, look, this dude's the kinkiest thing to ever come into the French Quarter. And he's still there.
Nice.
You've got that other scumbag
okay,
that
about it?
that stooped his campaign manager's wife over and over and over again. Ugh. They all admitted it, and he stayed. I'm just saying, when you talk about lying about sex...
No, you're comparing the crime to the lie.
They lied. They all lied, and they all did it about their penis.
Republicans suck. What can I tell you?
No, they're better at wrapping around and protecting their own. Anthony Weiner didn't have to go. Okay, let me get back to the first tangent point.
Economy.
No. I had a tangent before that, and then we'll come back to the economy. It was Alan Grayson out of Florida, who's like, the Republican healthcare plan is die quickly if possible, as soon as you can. He's that guy that stood up there and did it, and all the Republicans are like, don't tell our secret plan. I mean, don't say stuff like that about us. He's gone because the DCCC didn't cover his ass during election time. So you have these strong, manly men or manly women Democrats that are trying to fight.
They get kicked out by Democrats. How is that a Republican problem?
Wait, it's not. But you're saying Democrats are pussies, and what that is it's a Democratic, upper Democratic Party, DNC, DCCC, DSCC, all of the official groups that hand the money out to the candidates that go, you know, we're going to go with somebody
less
a little more chicken shit than you.
Yeah.
Look, Harry Reid, whom I've met a couple of times now, seems a nice enough guy, has a very firm handshake, and is pretty honest for a politician. And he is also the most spineless wanker who has ever run the Senate. You know, we've got to get back to the days of, well, like I keep, like our one of our calls, like on our posters, and that's Truman. More like Truman, less like Reid. You know, Truman may have been a little gruff and a little pointy around the edges, but he told the truth, and he told it like a badass, you know?
Sure.
I'll quit telling the truth about them when they stop telling lies about me. That's that guy. And we need people in leadership like Howard Dean, who when he was running the DNC, we got control of the House, we got control of the Senate, we got the White House. Howard Dean's gone. Well,
Dean went, wow. And that was the end. But that was like, are you serious?
No, that was in 2004. That was the end of his presidential campaign. After that, he took over the DNC and he ran the hell out of it. And we made gains across the country and things were going great. We somehow, for some reason, I still can't wrap my head around, even though I'll probably be burned in effigy for saying it. We put Pelosi in charge of the House and she did a great job for about 100 days and then just melted and turned into the quickest bend over you have ever seen. Her and Reid together really are like the two kids who not only get beat up at school, but have posters they made themselves asking for it.
They really are. They're like,
so geez. Those are my two Democrats in charge. They put Tim Kaine, the governor of, I think, Vermont, one of those maple syrupy states where it's just, and he's a dude with eyebrows and very little substance and almost no fight. Now, by the end, he finally managed to learn how to give a friggin' speech. But before that, he was nothing. The reason he got put in is because upper-level Democrats, Rahm Emanuel, the former chief of staff to the president, did not like Howard Dean because Howard Dean, instead of sending a boatload of money to like 10 states or 12 states, battleground states, to get people in, instead spent $10 million, which, when you're speaking politically, is really not all that much, to hire people in 50 states. Three or four people in every state to work for Democratic causes, to help out with messaging, to help out with candidates. I was one of those back in 2005 to about 2008, you know?
Sure.
So you set the groundwork. You start messaging out for future victory. And it worked. And the minute it worked, they canned his ass and they brought in somebody who would start sending money to battleground states. That's what happens to the Democratic Party. Is it top-wise, you got a bunch of good fighters. You got guys like Tim DeChristopher, who, with absolutely no money, a very silly haircut and a goatee, wanders into an oil lease auction, an illegal oil lease auction, and illegally bids on plots he can't pay for. The one thing that people keep forgetting is it was an illegal oil auction that the Bush administration put together illegally to sell those off in their last 15 minutes. That's a tough guy. You may not like what he did, and he certainly, what he did was against the law,
but that's a fighter.
That's a guy who saw a problem and threw a monkey wrench into it. Would Reid do that? No. Would Pelosi do that? No. Would their cronies and admirers do that? Absolutely not. They're the go along to get along. Don't rock the boat. I am too chicken shit for my own good. That's who's running the Democratic Party now. And so you have a president who I really think, for all of his calmness and all of his deliberation and his obvious intelligence, can't get shit done because the people who are supposed to do his footwork for him are too busy hiding under their desks.
Do you think that's really the reason he can't get the shit done?
I do. It's he doesn't have the support he needs. The president can stand and say he wants shit to happen all day long. And if the houses, Congress and the Senate don't do it, there's nothing. He can't do anything.
I'm sorry, he lost a big chunk of his credibility when he didn't back up his campaign promises with more force. I mean, he ran on like five big things and he did none of them.
He did
the Patriot Act still there.
He did partials.
Guantanamo's still open. I mean, it was half-assed and it was like an appeasement policy decision.
But why does he have to? What you have to look at though is why does he have to appease? What does it do? And this is. No,
that's the problem with the Democrats. Fuck appeasement. Do what the right thing to do is.
I'm with you. Here's the thing. When the president stands up and says,
he's doing
I want
the same
a thing,
you're accusing Pelosi and
he has to have 200 and what, 60 in the House and 51. Actually, at the time, he had to have 60 in the Senate saying, okay, let's do it. And he had 49 in the Senate. And he had those blue dog Democrats basically putting it into a statistical tie. So he stands up there and he's like, okay, I'm trying to be a two-term president. I want this to happen. And I have no support from my own party. And I'm being called names. I'm being called un-American. They're making fun of my mom. They're being douchebags on the right side. And my guys don't have my back, so I don't actually have the votes to pass this legislation. I can stand up and be like, screw you guys, do the right thing. And if the status quo maintains, right, he's Jimmy Carter. Now, the problem with that
wouldn't have had to put up with Pelosi and Reid. Because Democrats would have been pissed enough that they'd want a change in leadership.
Okay. See, and
wait,
then that
Democrats getting pissed.
No. They're pissed all the time. They're constantly angry. I know that they're angry at me quite often. So what that comes down to, though, is you look at the Safe District, the McCain-Feingold Act that got turned into the Incumbent Protection Act. They build themselves areas where a Republican voter is going to vote Republican. That's what they do. They're kind of ignorant. They don't really pay attention. They're half apathetic unless they're Tea Partiers, and then they're just fucking nuts. But so you look at the fact that these people draw their own political districts. It's the same thing that's happening in Utah right now, is we have Republicans and I think one or two Democrats drawing out all the political districts.
Sure. Dude, that's been legal for 80 years and it's not going to change, and it sucks.
But there are states that have gone ahead and started up, you know, independent redistricting committees, which means that no party, soft or hard, as it were, but powerful or not, majority, minority, no parties in control. We draw fair lines. That's what needs to happen everywhere. But the only way that could possibly happen is through federal mandate. And these federal guys so protected.
No, it's not going to happen through federal mandate because the federal government has no authority to set election rules.
But, well,
that's up to the states entirely.
They kind
of
can.
The states have glommed on to gerrymandering because it works for them.
But not to the degree, funny enough, of Utah. 10 years ago, a bunch of douchebags in Texas.
New Orleans used to be 100 times worse. New York was 1,000 times worse than Utah's ever been.
No. And if you go back
New York
if you
is
go
the
back...
one that determined that the, I think it was New York, that the lines actually had to connect. You couldn't have a district that was like a big circle over here and a little circle way over here. The lines have to connect.
Well, that's fine. What I'm saying is if you go back to the New York Times, they did several editorials 10 years ago where they're like, you know, for as bad as it's been everywhere else in the history of the world, Utah is really, really, really dirty. This is the New York Times that was very self-critical of its own political, you know, back during the big boss days. I mean, and they have been, and they took one look at what Utah did 10 years ago, and they're like, holy shit, you've got to be kidding me. It's an editorial. Look it up. It's easy to find because we keep publishing it. And so we're doing it even worse this time, but now we're in that weird white noise of Tea Party horse shit where people like Michelle Bachmann have an a statistical chance of becoming the president of the United States, and she thinks that John Quincy Adams was a founding father, even though he was 9 years old.
Isn't it fucking great?
Dude.
Anybody can be president here. It's that, awesome.
That's supposed to be a fun lie, like the fucking tooth fairy that you tell your kids to get them to do their homework. That's not supposed to be the truth. A moron should not be the president of the United States. And just because we had one, we should have learned our lesson. Yeah, I went there. I totally went there.
I was with you, too. And, you know, I was just thinking when you were saying that, I was like, you know, Michelle Bachmann, well, you know, she's not mean.
Yes, she is.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Doesn't seem very mean.
She's
to
terribly
me.
Mean. She's not mean to you, but I don't think she knows anything. You yet.
I don't.
She would be mean to you, and not in that good Las Vegas kind of way.
And I'm not trying.
That $300.
She hasn't met me. She would be that mean to me in that Vegas kind of way.
Hi,
but...
Forrest. Actually, she's from Minnesota, so she'd be. Oh, hi there, Forrest. How are you, eh?
It was just a.
Hey, look, the only reason I am no longer excited to have Michelle Bachmann in the race is because she made a promise that she wouldn't mud wrestle with Sarah Palin, and therefore I think it's kind of pointless for them to be so popular. I said it! Yes, I did.
Did she really make that promise?
She did. I'm not going to have a mud wrestle, you know. It's Sarah Palin, you know. She said that. Honest
to
God.
Game over, then. She's out.
Yeah, game over. Gone. You can't be that batshit
That's
crazy
it.
If you're not going to vamp it up a little bit. The only reason we've kept Sarah Palin around is because she puts on the glasses and does that librarian vibe. Except somehow it's like a dyslexic librarian who's kind of illiterate. That's the Sarah Palin librarian.
Oh, I really like Sarah Palin if I can turn the volume down on my TV. Really. You know, if I don't have to listen to her, she's great.
I believe that we have objectified two very powerful Republican women. As long as we don't take it to three, I think we're safe.
Let's be honest, they're Republican women. They don't have any power.
They've set themselves up for it by becoming Republican women.
That was Jeff Bell speaking, by the way.
No, that was you, ass. So, as we take the long view on the economy, we see...
The what?
Shut up. It's the economy. We see...
Soft. It's the economy...
Forest...
That'll work.
Hey, if we're going to share definitions. That was rude, and I apologize. I'm very sorry.
I'm laughing.
Ass.
Is that pussy Democrat coming out again?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? I snuck that in for you. Yeah. I know. It makes you sweaty. So as we take the long view of the economy, what we see is as we have this terrible non-job growth, I'm using my air quotes, trademark, radio air quotes, recovery. That has no jobs attached to it. I'm a victim of that. For 2 years, I can't find work. I have to start my own thing, you know, because I can't get a job. Turns out, a 2.5-guy shop, not a small business. You don't qualify for the Republican definition of small business until you're bringing in $15 million a year. Isn't that fantastic? Once I make $15 million a year, I qualify for all that horseshit they talk about when they're like, we're all about small business. Small business tax grants that they put together in their proposals that are still law from the Newt Gingrich days are going to multi-billion-dollar profitable companies.
Well, that's what needs to stop. I mean, there's been a complete and total hijack of language by the Republican Party. It's crazy. Things like small business. Don't crack your knuckles at me. It makes me want to cry.
That's my fighting noise. I don't have a sound effect for fighting trousers.
But they're not about what people would think of as sound small business. And they're not values. And
Taking the scrubbers out of foundry smokestacks was called the Clean Skies or the Blue Skies Act. The deforestation of American wilderness was called by the Republicans. I believe the Healthy Tree Initiative.
Well, that's so, they're great salesmen. I'll give them that.
They're great at lying and getting away with it.
Incredible salesmen, and they can sell any kind of bullshit to the whole country.
It's getting harder and harder to do that.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, how do you figure?
I think it's easier.
Tell me right now.
Let me
throw a question out to you guys, to the panel. Okay. What state is currently having a nuclear reactor flooded by a river that's overcome its bank?
Somewhere along the Mississippi.
No.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
Dakota.
It's in one of the Dakotas.
West Dakota. West Dakota.
No, the Mississippi runs up through Minnesota.
That Montana doesn't want in its west.
If you're looking at the map, this has happened over to the left. But basically, in Japan, where we do not live, I don't know if you're aware of that or not. They own most of Hawaii and the West Coast, but we don't live in Japan. In Japan, they have a wave and an earthquake, and we get, 5 straight weeks of news.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of their nuclear reactors failing.
I'm kidding, by the way. I followed that whole thing.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
It was sensational.
Oh, the earthquake. I remember. Okay. I'm there.
Okay. Now, that's in Japan. That's clear. Ouch. If you will pardon my expression, the hell over there. Okay? That's over there.
Do you know why it's not getting coverage here? Because it's not that big. It's not nearly the problem for us as it was for Japan.
We have a nuclear reactor.
We have a nuclear reactor that's been shut down, that's been cleaned out.
Underwater. It's not in that great a shape. That's the problem. Is it 6 reactors stacked together in an unsafe way? Was there 5 acts of God all at the same time? No.
Fuck you and your anti-nuclear fucking lobby
money. I'm not anti-nuclear.
Bullshit.
Not at all. I'm just a little more pro-solar. You know what happens when a solar array goes bad? You Windex the mirrors. All done. It floods. Nothing happens. Yeah. No fish mutations. No four-headed frogs.
Do you have any idea what the environmental impact of making a solar cell is?
I honestly don't.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
I've actually looked it up. The chemicals that go into making a solar panel. What?
The old solar panels. They make solar panels with different chemicals now.
They make 30 or 40 different kinds of solar panels now, depending on different kind of elements and what kind of yield you want to get out of them.
Well, don't throw them away.
But you still need a shitload of them to collect enough energy to compete on any scale with nuclear power.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Nuclear power produces less waste in a year than 15 minutes at any coal plant in the U.S.
Now, when Glenn Beck was whispering that into your ear,
I have never in my life heard Glenn Beck, unless it was on The Daily Show. I just know that he is batshit crazy, and I think a Mormon. That's all I know about him. And that he cries a lot.
I'm definitely not a fan of coal.
Nuclear is scary because they made us hide under our desks in the 80s and do the fucking circles.
No. It's because
on how fast we'd burn in a nuclear war against the Russians.
It's because the waste that comes out of a nuclear reactor takes 60,000 years to die.
Because we haven't built a new nuclear reactor since I think the 50s in the U.S.
I think we have.
Do you know what the waste? You know what? Okay, the waste from a nuclear power plant is the size of a hockey puck.
Mm-hmm.
They take all the nuclear waste, they soak it in a particular sand.
Nah, dude, no.
They shrink it down to a fucking hockey puck.
I've seen GoldenEye and they're big rods of poison. I've seen James Bond movies, and
they're
huge.
Well, that's what they have there now, are the big rods of poison.
And also
but the future is different. And nuclear, it's something completely renewable, something solar and wind only would be the premium, and it would be the best.
But I'm with him.
After you wipe out weather patterns and destroy forests looking for the kind of metals you need to make an efficient solar cell.
No, we get those somewhere else.
That's what we don't...
Like Australia.
Yeah.
We learn how to make them out
of
sand.
Congo, after you kill off all the great apes there for your...
What's that? No apes. Just the gray ones that attacked Bruce Campbell.
Not the ones in the movie this coming summer.
Because they're bad
the Rise
apes.
Of the Apes, which looks badass.
Definitely those.
Yeah.
The damn dirty
those
apes.
Guys are cool.
I am fine with making solar arrays out of damn dirty apes. Not monkeys. Not orangutans or gorillas. But damn dirty apes. That's our fix for energy right there.
You know they're gonna take our guns.
I'm just trying to say that
at the end of the day,
I think, nuclear is definitely better than coal. I don't think
we should be with you.
We should not be burning fossil fuels of any kind. They're too valuable. We
You're
shouldn't
such a
be burning
hippie.
Them.
Look at you. What you got with all that short hair, hippie?
Would I what?
Why do you got that short hair, hippie? You're incognito. He's in disguise.
I have vegan shoes.
I don't know what that means. They're made out of plastic?
They're made out of oil. Yeah.
They look like leather to me.
There's no animal product in them.
What kind of oil? Screaming carrots? Begging for their life? Cabbage?
Baby seal oil?
I'm glad you get the idea and see the humor that I find.
Are they still vegetarian? Because nobody really eats baby seal. Is that what that means? If you render it all down to make shoes?
Yeah. That's what makes them so funny. But yeah.
So the long view on the economy is we reward those companies that do not contribute to fixing our job problem.
Fuck that. That is not the long view we should be taking.
No. That's the long view that is being taken. I'm telling you.
Look, I'm not taking it. I know, sweetheart, what you're trying to say in your...
This, by the way, is the kickoff meeting for Forrest for president.
I don't know. You going to run against Hatch this year?
Run against Hatch for president?
No, run against Hatch for senator.
Oh, no, president. What? Senator?
Well, you take a step. I mean, you do it like, look, you want a success story? Obama, community organizer, state senate, I think, the senate, and then the president. And I think it was in like 12 days. It was pretty fast.
7 days.
Seven days. Seven. No.
Because Jesus was...
Eight. Yeah. Obama was eight.
Right.
Yeah. We don't want to do that to him. I mean, that's no fair. But yeah, that's the current long view on the economy. And the economy is what they're doing is they're rewarding people that are destroying the American middle class, the working class. They're tearing apart unions. And whether you like unions or you don't, and I've worked for two different ones, and I loved one and I hated the other... And I think that was just the people I was working with, to be completely honest. But unions do some serious protection work, even if it's only messaging that other people are getting screwed. Because if you have, like, in certain right-to-work states, you have a union shop that has non-union members, those non-union members are still getting all the benefits that the union guys get. But no one would be getting those if it weren't for the union guys out there fighting for them in the first place. You know, your weekends. And I know that you used to have a thing on this, and you probably still do. You're like, oh, the 5-day work week is the fault of unions, because for some reason you thought we were working, what, 3 fives before that? We had this argument.
I don't know where you're... No, you...
We did. Now, I think you were probably baiting me, but we had a big argument.
I was probably still on the blog. You're bastardizing my position. But you said that
when the unions put the 40-hour work week in, that it ended up screwing the American worker because we'd be working less if it weren't for that. You said it.
That was not me.
It was you.
I would never say that.
Okay, we're going to keep talking. I'm going to swing over to the blog.
The 40-hour work week, was that not Henry Ford's idea anyway? Not the union's idea? Because 40 hours works great with 8-hour shifts, and it's the math, and they can keep the factory going 24 hours with 8-hour shifts. Yeah, unions made it happen, but it really was Ford's idea. I mean, he made it happen first.
I got a joke for that. I don't want to tell it. I'll probably sneak it in again. No, you know what? That's probably true. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I know that the weekend is because of the unions. I know the benefits, the health insurance. I mean, all of these different things are because of unions. I know that my kids, I can't, and I'm kind of frustrated on this. Not really. But I can't put my kids out to work 40 hours, 80 hours a week. I can't. We have safe conditions. You know, you have to be treated like people now. I mean.
Well, yeah, that's.
What the unions gave
different.
Us was great.
That's a point of
perspective.
And they
did it with strong arm tactics.
He could keep his factories running 24 hours
okay,
a day,
Ford
7 days a week.
Ford was also a Nazi sympathizer, so
difference.
I really don't want to give him a lot of press right now. He was.
Okay. He's been dead for like 60 years now, 70 years.
Hey, if we're going to give him the 5-day work week, we also should put in the part that he was ridiculously anti-Semitic and helped fund the Nazi war effort.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Hitler likes dogs.
Anyway.
That doesn't make him
if
a nice guy.
If he had
guy.
Anything
no
to
shit.
Do with the Mustang 2, then I'm done with him.
I think he was dead by then.
Lucky him.
Yeah. But, you know, in case one of his progeny is listening, I'd love a Mach 4. That would really make me happy. Because that was a badass automobile.
I think it's too late for now.
Huh?
That's too late for you now.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not my fault. He pranced.
No, you already, yeah, you know, you already
he ballroom
out that he
danced
Nazi,
with the
so.
Nazis. Yeah, and with my luck, it's going to be like Chuck Dodge. you know, or Bobby Dotson was the Nazi sympathizer. Yeah, pretty sure it was Ford. So anyway, I think to sum up on the economy, we're fucked unless we can go back in time and get Democrats elected that have the will to fight for what's right and not, you know, Alan Grayson's not a congressman anymore because he stood up for what was right as opposed to what was politically feasible. And he's out. You know, what I would like to see, and what you saw with Clinton was once he, the day after his inauguration for his second term, he was a far more badass guy. He was a lot more vocal. Right. He fought a lot more. A lot of good things happened. Surplus, good economy, jobs were up.
Then he got horny.
It's
fucked it all.
As it were. And, but, you know, I don't care. If you look at where the economy was, this was a graph. I wish I could find this. I'll try and find it, and I'll post it on the website. But there was a graph that showed how well America was doing with our gross national product and all that.
He did
and
fantastic things for the economy.
The time during the Monica, before it blew up, but while he was interning, if you will, we were doing better than anything else. And I'm just saying that maybe
that made him a better president.
Maybe all presidents need a fluffer. I think maybe that should be a perk of office.
What if it's Michelle Bachman?
It's time to... I'm having a drink.
Did that just win your vote, Jeff, then?
No, that did not. Look, I'll be honest. If you took the glasses off Sarah Palin, I'd think she'd just be ick. And Michelle Bachman, I don't... Look, I like really smart women. Now, you know.
Why were you talking about Bachman and Palin then?
If they're pretty, that's fine. But I prefer to be able to carry on a conversation that I couldn't duplicate with bigger words with a 6-year-old. You know what I mean? I like to talk.
No.
I like, you know.
I just, you know, once I get past hey, baby, that's all I got. If it's not working from there,
that sounds
moving
like
on.
More like a problem with your repertoire. Maybe your personal script's a little short.
Well, you know, I start talking about comic books and
well, you've been married
the laughter again. It's
what,
just like
25 decades. How long have you been married?
Yeah, centuries, I think.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
I have too. 100 years for me, and I think 130 for you.
I think, Forrest is. I think Plato was in office.
Sure, sure. Socrates.
Socrates. Socrates.
So great. You know, so how the hell did we get here? Somebody quick turn the dryer around. I don't.
The economy's going down the shitter because the Republicans are in charge and the Democrats are pussies and
the guys that's really about it. I mean, there seems to be this thing when people talk about the economy and they talk about how the government is screwing us all. They talk about it as if there is a conspiracy. Or that there are certain people up on the hill that are working towards this end. And it's not. It's everyone.
There's maybe four people
on the hill
who think that
we have even a legitimate point, right? I mean, when you talk finance and you talk about the federal government, the kind of money the federal government spends and what they spend it on and the people that they're working with and that, you know, we're tied to the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve's like, if you do this, you're fucked, so don't do it, right? This is a conversation that's happening so far above the heads of everybody in America that politicians hear us screaming about how, you know, we should stop giving money to multi-billion dollar corporations. And what they're thinking is you don't understand what's going on. And that's why it's never going to change. Because
you just,
people who
you
are
just
fucking...
accused politicians of thinking. I would like to.
No, they do. They're smarter than you give them credit for. That's how we get
some
clean
of
air
them.
Acts.
Most of them.
No, they all are in their own way.
It is from Jake Weininger.
Yeah.
Palin and Bachman. Smarter than you think they are.
Hell yeah. Palin served,
six months
as governor of Alaska? And she's running for fucking president.
Well,
she's not dumb.
She's just driving a bus with a really serious graphic wrap on it.
Not anymore.
She quit that halfway through.
Yeah.
Maybe
she'd be a good president because she quit halfway through.
Yeah, but who's her vice president? Okay, that might be something we want to look into. Let me tell you about Palin. If I'm trying to think of someone that I will never meet that I can do this. If remember the movie Misery with James Caan and Kathy Bates?
Still
if Sarah Palin looked like Kathy Bates, she would never have been governor of Alaska. I'll tell you that right now. If Michelle Bachmann looked like Kathy Bates. No, I know that. She cannot be that dumb. Her pretty got her in. Her pretty got her in.
No, it didn't.
Then everyone who voted for her must be an idiot. Because if you listen to her talk for more than 5 minutes. Okay.
No, it's Alaska. She's heavily Republican.
Well, there's one woman to every 400 dudes up there, and she's pretty, and that's what got her elected.
No.
They're all just thinking, I'll get my shot with the governor.
Right.
She's
Alaska
a pretty lady. I like the look of her.
Most people in Alaska love the oil industry.
Love
the hunting and the slaughtering of the baby seals because they make money off it. Right?
With helicopters.
And there's not that many people up there.
Yeah.
Right? So
400 guys.
And usually the guys that are up there are people who are just fucking fed up living in the lower states. Yep. They don't want to be with our business. They want to be left alone.
Sure.
She got elected. It didn't matter what she looked like. It was her policy that got her elected. She did a shitty job and everybody was pissed about it.
I think you're giving her too much credit.
No.
No, I think that when you have that many lonely guys up there working on the tuna boats.
I might be misremembering, but I'm getting this from
are you getting this from
Darren? No,
the Sarah,
from Darren and
the Sarah Palin documentary.
Darren and Lonnie, who lived
up there
for 20
years. She didn't win
because
she's pretty. She won because everybody's mad at America.
It's barren, but they've got the internet.
There's no, there's two cities
like
up there that are liberal. There's two cities up there that are even moderately liberal, and one of them is an art town.
I don't think they had the internet when she got elected.
I'm sure they did.
Not when she was mayor of Wasilla.
Maybe not in Wasilla, but
dude, she's an idiot, and that's all there is to it. And people to vote for are idiots. And
oh, I'm not going to vote for her. I don't think she's an idiot, but I'm not going to vote for her.
Look,
right?
When what did you do today? Is a gotcha question. You're an idiot. When what newspapers do you read? Is a gotcha question.
No.
You're an idiot.
That's an inability to relate to people she's talking to.
No, she's an idiot. She doesn't know how to read.
Dude.
Did you read any of those emails?
How many times
the lady's
have you run
got
for
all
president?
Of the grammatical style of my 6-year-old?
Sure,
that's all I'm saying. My 6-year-old.
Then
has,
then how come
so
she's
she doesn't
for
know how to communicate unless someone else has written her speech?
Right, and even then, it's full of shit. Look,
it's
okay,
full of shit.
We're talk
sure,
about,
but
let me go back to politicians are smarter than you think they are. My point is
Paul
is
Revere.
My what?
Paul Revere.
Yeah, Paul Revere. He was trying to protect our guns, so.
Go ahead.
He was trying to protect our guns.
Sure he was.
Yeah.
Hey!
And also our popcorn.
British guys.
No, but listen.
We have guns, and you can't have them.
You can't have them. So, no.
Love that part of the story. That's my favorite part.
My point is that when politicians are talking about the economy, and they talk to the public, they tell the public what they want to hear because they don't think the public would understand the kind of problem that they're dealing with when they talk about the economy with people that they think knows what's going on, right?
Okay.
I mean, when they go over the experts, right? They go.
Politicians
to the experts
think that voters
are
not as smart as they are.
Not as informed. They feel like that they spend their time. They feel like that they're going to the smartest of the smart economists.
You had just a couple of years ago. Yeah, just a couple of years ago, you had a state senator here in Utah that, when asked why he was ignoring a poll that said that 80 some odd percent of Utah voters were against what he was going for, he's like, "Utah voters are not smart enough to understand." And when the press,
John Adams said the same thing.
John Adams was smarter than nearly anyone who's ever lived. But when the press went nuts. And people started to pick at him and scream and yell.
Right.
All the other guys on his committee, all the other Republicans are like, "No, really, people are too stupid to understand this. We're smarter than them. We're elected to office, and that makes us witty."
Sure. No, okay. This
they
is
think
what
that
I'm
because,
talking about,
no,
right?
It's like, no,
no
it's,
listen.
It's a weird
listen.
Caste system thing where they're like, "We got elected, therefore we're better than you, we're smarter than you, and you should just shut up and let us do whatever the hell we want."
Sure.
It's why Mark Shurtleff can be, in my consideration, one of the weirdest, crookedest politicians in the world, and can still say with a straight face, "I didn't do anything wrong," because in his mind, I'm a Republican who's been elected to office. I can do whatever the fuck I want. I live in Utah. To him, is a justification for any behavior he has, because that's how they think.
So let me ask
Democrats do it too.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You need. Let's say you need to finance an operation like this, right? That we're doing tonight.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah. Do you go to the smartest guy you know and ask for help on how to do that?
No. No, I have you enforced.
Oh, God, we're screwed. We're sunk.
I go to other guys who are in similar economic problems as I am, and I'm like, hey, come to my basement and talk for an hour.
And it's working for you.
We're talking.
No, I mean, so when a politician needs, you know, advice on the economy, he goes to, you know, award-winning, Pulitzer Prize-winning economists.
Or the Heritage Foundation. Depends on which party you're talking
who
about.
Who have Pulitzer Prize-winning economists on their board?
No, they don't.
Pretty sure they do.
No, they don't. Not Pulitzer Prize winners.
I'm pretty sure that, well, all right, I'll have to look up the Heritage Foundation.
Okay, I'm taking notes of stuff we have to look up.
Yeah.
So hang on a second.
Yeah, before I make an ass of myself.
Well, no, we'll look it up,
so
we'll come
anyway,
back, we'll correct, we'll be honest, we'll fix our mistakes. We will admit when we're wrong, because we're not Republicans.
I hate doing that.
I know, me too. I am a dude, so I don't really appreciate
it. But I'm never going to resign for it.
All right, what did you say?
Pulitzer Prize winning
economist. Candy is good for people.
Pulitzer Prize winning economist.
That's right. At the Heritage Foundation.
At the Heritage Foundation. I could be wrong. I probably am. It's the Heritage Foundation. But no, I mean, the point is, right, you look for the smartest people you know, and they tell you that, you know, if you don't give multi-billion dollar grants and loans, what do they call those things?
Grants and loans?
No. Help me here. Don't just stare at me. The money that's given to corporations,
corporate welfare?
It's corporate welfare, but they have an actual
name. It's a tax write-off.
Not
a tax
write-off.
A tax deduction.
No.
Or a tax loophole.
Keep going. That's all part of it.
A big fat present for their lobbyist buddies.
No, they're supposed to be for, like, you know, small farms are supposed to be able to get...
Subsidy?
Subsidy!
Thank
you.
That's right.
God, that's a tough word. So many vowels.
Hey, remember that question about the smartest guys I know?
Yeah.
Forrest, Forrest is currently wearing that hat.
This is who you're listening to, someone who can't remember the word subsidy, so take it for what it's worth. These really rich, really smart guys say that if you take a subsidy away from the oil company is going to crash and it's going to cost everybody more money. And so the politician's like, well, I can't do that. What if I take it away from farms? Like, if you take it away from farms, you're going to drive everybody's food prices up. There's going to be riots because everybody's going to be starving. So, like, oh, well, you know, what if we take the subsidies away from pregnant mothers? Oh, people are going to be pissed. But they can get away with it.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
I'll give you that.
Right? The problem is, it's as much as the people that are smart, award-winning economists as it is everybody else. That's where the information's coming from. The average guy on the street doesn't care if oil companies go under. We're pretty sure that they can take care of themselves without the subsidies.
Well, that's the thing. Here's where the disparate part comes in. Here's where, in my opinion, both the American citizens' desire to know what the hell is actually going on, which should be fed by, you know, our constitutionally protected media, you know, they're having more fun talking about the pie fight between Senator A and Senator B, as opposed to talking about the fact that it seems pretty silly that you can say an oil company will go under if you take away their couple of billion dollar each subsidies.
$40 billion.
Well, the total, not each.
Yeah.
Total. But
there's
you're looking at
companies
where the top
the
five, for the last couple of years, the top five most profitable companies in the tens of billions of dollars are oil companies. And those profit margins get wider and wider. Once upon a time, right after 9/11, you know, when no one was going anywhere, no one was flying, there was a big dip in the air. Republicans said, we need to give them a little bit more money. And America went, hey, okay, you know, we're all still scared of 9/11. Ooh. And so we did. And it's just gone apeshit from there.
Sure.
And that's the whole problem I have with everything is we're still sitting on this weird post 9/11 messaging, you know?
Yeah.
We are a voting class that didn't get upset that the color coding terror warning system stopped changing the day after the 2004 George Bush election victory. Didn't change until we killed it when Obama went, holy shit, we're still using what? Throw that away. That's our voting class. The apathy. I don't think that the apathy is a direct result of people not liking their politicians. I think at this point, politicians are behaving the way they are because not enough people give a shit, you know?
Well, from what I understand, that's the opinion on the Hill.
That people just don't give a shit?
Yeah, that's why they do half of what they do. In fact, I know for a fact that in an interview It was one of those, I don't know, not Michael Moore, because I can't stand him, but there was some kind of documentary, and they had several policymakers on the Hill saying, no, it doesn't matter because people don't give a shit.
Yeah. It's not. So, yeah. I mean, it's not.
They know it.
And that is, now, I'm going to bring this around to a little mini circle. That is, again, from letting politicians draw their own district maps. When they get to choose who their voters are, as opposed to letting their voters choose who they are, that's what happens, because people don't pay attention. You look at it, you have absolutely, maybe you know, but you have absolutely no idea how much data I, as a political hack, can get from the state about you and your voting habits and your income, who you are, what you do, what you like, what you believe, what your religion is, what your color is, you know, and how you vote. I can pull that up. I can pull up your entire voting history. It's how we found out that Rush Limbaugh, for being such a pompous windbag, actually hadn't voted in ever up until the mid-90s, you know, because we can look that shit up. And so I can go through as a politician and I can say, hey, there's a whole shitload of people just like this that keep voting for me. But they're in this asshole's district. So since I'm in the majority party, I'm going to draw this line over here and that line over here. Sure. This is why there's Tooele. For those of you listening from out of Utah, it's just a county here to the left of me.
We call it Tooele.
Tooele. But Tooele was cut into four pieces right down the middle main streets, the center and the main. You know, what kind of representation are they getting from their government when four people are in charge and that those crossroads are at the far periphery with the lowest population for those districts? You have four districts and the Tooele chunks are the smallest parts. Are you going to go walk that? Are you going to go meet those people? Or are you going to stay in Salt Lake County where all of the bodies are?
And that's people, you got to understand, Tooele is a small place. It's a little town. They have a very high
teen pregnancy rate.
You know what the thing about Tooele is that makes this an important point? It's chock full of American citizens and they are not getting representation. You know,
right?
They are the ones that are getting pushed aside, and that happens all over. That's like when you watch you watch a district line and you see a little arm pop out or a little line that goes 30 blocks one way, up 10 blocks, circles a neighborhood, comes back down. You know, that's asshole Republican number one saying, you know what? I want these voters, so I'm going to grab them. I'll draw this in, and then I'll swing a line over to my place so that they'll vote for me. And that's what's happening now. It's what happened before. It's what happened again.
Yeah, gerrymandering.
You can't fix the economy until the government can't do anything about the economy until people vote who they want to vote in, as opposed to politicians.
Dude, I think
voting.
Gerrymandering is the least of our problems.
I think it's the biggest problem because it's put us here.
I'll tell you what the biggest problem is, and I will prove it by telling you that this is how the Tea Party came to be. It's that no smart people join the caucus. No smart people try
caucus.
To drive. Yeah.
I will beat you down.
Carry on.
How about not enough smart people?
No. What I'm talking about is the Republican caucus in Alaska picks Sarah Palin.
Right.
And somebody picked Michelle Bachmann.
But that was in Minnesota, and as we illustrated earlier in the show, nobody's got their shit together up there anymore.
There are some crazy politicians out there on the right and the left, and they're being picked by crazies.
Yeah.
And the people who are picking them are just mad that they don't have somebody crazier.
That comes down to the whole
There's not enough involvement. Like, I can't start my own political party and get my name on a ticket in Utah unless I have 50,000 people as a member.
I think it's 5%.
Which is, I think, 50,000.
Well, no, that's something different. But yeah, you're right.
Right?
Okay.
So, like, I can't even start, like, a small meeting of the minds and try to change my local politics, or at least to get on an election, without having a large number of supporters. It keeps us in a two-party system, and it keeps us from finding people who are better, who would actually be better for the government and better for the people, because you have to join the Republicans or the Democrats, which I'm not doing. I'm sorry, I'm not joining either of them.
No, that's
fine.
They're
batshit crazy. Right?
Yeah.
And like, I was wooed by Ron Paul.
They're different.
Because he was different. I like Ron Paul. I still like Ron Paul. I vote for Ron Paul because I know he's not going to win.
Yeah.
Like, if I thought he was going to win, no, I wouldn't vote for him because he's fucking crazy.
Thank you for saying that, because he scares me.
No, I know,
sometimes, you know, he's...
Actually, you
but
know
the
what?
Thing
I,
is,
I thought he was scary
different.
Until I met
and
his
I want
kid.
Politicians to know...
Well, his kid is just batshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
All right, look, look.
He's the George Bush Jr. to Ron Paul.
Oh, my God. Yeah, to Ron Paul's George Herbert.
Bush Sr., yeah.
Man, that's a thing. All right, look, we're coming well past where we decided we were going to end, which is fun.
Yeah.
So let's assume that we're going to get together next week. We'll assume. The Left Show will happen
really
next week.
I really hate assumptions.
I know you do. Talk to my kid. So what do you got planned for the week? You got the 4th of July. Happening day after tomorrow.
How are
you going to celebrate America?
I am going to go to a small town parade, and I'm going to play croquet and sing Marine Corps songs and college songs. And
you're actually going to do that, though.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I love the 4th of July.
I hate that
Utah celebrates the 24th of July at all, because they always celebrate it bigger than the 4th, and it pisses me off.
And... I mean, most people celebrate Statehood Day, which is in
it should
January.
Be, you know, it should be. Well,
for
no, they
Utah?
Got their. No, it's the 24th.
No,
that's why they celebrate
statehood
their Statehood Day.
Day is like in January.
We have a Statehood
sure
Day.
Yes, we do.
Holy. I thought that was the 24th.
It's like no.
No,
it's
that's
like
the day of 47.
I think
is
it's
more
January
of a religious observance.
So
really.
why do we have a 24th of July in Utah? A 24th of July.
It's a
why
religious
is that?
Observance.
Is that not the day that pioneers rode in?
That was the day that Brigham Young stood above the canyon and said, this is the place.
No.
It's not our statehood, Jake.
It's not our statehood day.
It's in January sometime. We were...
The state can't be even more fucked up
Here's
than
the
I
thing.
It, was.
I'm...
it is, Jake.
Actually,
no!
I'm afraid it is.
I'm moving.
Afraid it is.
The truth is, you're right, Jake. 1847 was when we became a state. The days of 47 celebrates our statehood. It's not called Statehood Day. It's called the 24th of July.
Well, thank you for fucking with me for the
it's,
past
it was
minute and a half.
Fun. Well, you got all mean when I was making fun of Bachman. So.
No, I'm very upset at Utah for not respecting.
Look,
the,
loving
the
your state's
that
one thing, but
them
yeah,
to exist.
That's whatever our first in. You know, okay. See, we've localized. I want to go international, and you guys keep bringing me back to Utah.
All right, fine. Canada Day was yesterday, and I want to say Happy Canada Day to all the Canadians. Listening.
Oh yeah, Canada Day. Yeah. You betcha.
I love Canadians.
Super. That's great.
Happy Canuck, super frackers.
I hope you all got out in a boot and did some fun stuff, and we're sorry about making fun of your country. So, what do you got planned?
I am so far beyond planning.
Well, if I recall correctly, my family and your family are getting together to eat some food because Jake's taking his family elsewhere.
That is right. Jake is going to what I thought was Lagoon, but I was mistaken. It was Logan.
Logan.
And we are going to go to my sister's house, and she's got a nice view of the fireworks, and we're just going to have a family get together and celebrate.
Cool. We're going to blow stuff up. It's okay, isn't it?
It's. I wouldn't admit to that, no.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to blow stuff up. Well, just... Well, that, I believe...
It's legal now.
It is. Well, it was boringly legal before. Now it's more excitingly legal.
Yeah.
But still not as exciting as running to a real state where you're allowed to act like an adult and buy stuff that could kill innocent people. You'd think it's a state...
It's that you can kill yourself.
Sort of.
When it's you can kill yourself, people don't care. When you say kill other people, everyone's all, 9/11.
Unless, of course, you have an Air Force.
Brother.
Helping you with the mortars. We know
you
almost killed our families, David.
Fires, because you know Walmart has guns and bullets, but they don't
have.
Not
when my brother's
involved. Bottle rockets.
Yeah, not when there's a zoomie.
It's more like fires.
Jake's Air Force brother,
which we've agreed to blame the whole incident on him.
It was totally his fault. Not only did he knock the mortars over, pointing at everyone's family, he then ran around in circles, screaming in a high pitched squeal like a 12-year-old girl in a Freddy Krueger movie.
There are
I don't know.
I'm tempted
to
defend my brother, but that's too funny.
It is too funny.
Initiation.
Okay, so thanks, guys. I will
Thank
see you.
You
soon.
You're welcome, Jeff.
It was fun. Can't wait for the next one.
Me neither. This was actually, by the time we got all of our technical difficulties worked out, this was fine. Now, real quick,
real quick.
To put you guys on the spot, we need an outline. So what's our little SAID slogan for leaving the show? That works for
later.
Me.
Later. Good night, frackers.
I have to assume, since we're not sitting in the same room and I can't gaze upon your beautiful and or handsome visage to gauge your reaction, that if you've made it this far, you may have found something that you like and quite possibly want to hear more of. And I'm very pleased. Thank you very much. Let me make a pitch. The voice of the sane moderate middle, let alone my more progressive liberal leanings, is basically dead in the mainstream media. If you want to hear more progressive voices, or even more rational, pragmatic voices, or even the insane voices that you heard in this program, you have to be a part of making alternative media too popular to ignore. If you take a few seconds and visit www.theleftshow.com and help us cover the cost of this little experiment with a small donation, you'll be doing the right thing at a time when America needs your participation the most. And if you didn't like it, I have absolutely no idea what you're doing listening to this, but if there is something different, if there is something alternative that you do like, try and find a way to support them as well. But I'm not going to give you links to their stuff.